but for some reason, his old comrades won't let me go. They're coming to collect their pound of flesh, and I fear that this time, as I have every time, I will end up paying with my heart.
Juliet. Kenji and I are in Warner's room, what's become my room, and we're standing in the middle of the closet where I fling clothes at him, trying to figure out what to wear. What about this, I say to him, throwing something glittery in his direction. Or this. I toss another ball of fabric at him.
You don't know shit about clothes, do you?
I turn around, tilt my head. I'm sorry, when was I supposed to learn about fashion, Kenji? When I was growing up alone and tortured by my horrible parents? Or maybe when I was festering in an insane asylum? That shuts him up. So, I say, nodding with my chin, which one? He picks up the two pieces I threw at him and frowns. You're making me choose between a short, shiny dress and a pair of pajama bottoms? I mean, I guess I choose the dress, but I don't think it'll go well with those ratty tennis shoes you're always wearing. Oh, I glance down at my shoes. Well, I don't know. Warner picked this stuff out for me a long time ago, before he even met me. It's all I have, I say, looking up. These clothes are left over from when I first got to Sector 45. Why don't you just wear your suit? Kenji says, leaning against the wall. The new one Aaliyah and Winston made for you. I shake my head. They haven't finished fixing it yet, and it's still got bloodstains from when I shot Warner's dad. Besides, I say, taking a deep breath, that was a different me. I wore those head-to-toe suits when I thought I had to protect people from my skin. But I'm different now. I could turn my power off. I can be normal. I try to smile. So I want to dress like a normal person.
But you're not a normal person.
I know that. A frustrating flush of heat warms my cheeks. I think I'd like to dress like one. Maybe for a little while? I've never been able to act my age, and I just want to feel a little bit...
I get it,
Kenji says, cutting me off with one hand. He looks me up and down, says,
well, I mean, if that's the look you're going for, I think you look like a normal person right now. This'll work.
He waves in the general direction of my body. I'm wearing jeans and a pink sweater. My hair is pulled up into a high ponytail. I feel comfortable and normal, but I also feel like an unaccomplished 17-year-old playing pretend. But I'm supposed to be the Supreme Commander of North America, I say. Do you think it's okay if I'm dressed like this? Warner is always wearing fancy suits, you know, or just, like, really nice clothes. He always looks so poised, so intimidating. Where is he, by the way? Kenji cuts me off. I mean, I know you don't want to hear this, but I agree with Castle. Warner should be here for this meeting. I take a deep breath, try to be calm. I know that Warner knows everything, okay? I know he's the best at basically everything, that he was born for this life. His father was grooming him to lead the world in another life, another reality. This was supposed to be his role. I know that. I do.
But?
But it's not Warner's job, is it? I say angrily. It's mine, and I'm trying not to rely on him all the time. I want to try to do some things on my own now, to take charge. Kenji doesn't seem convinced.
I don't know, Jay. I think maybe this is one of those times when you should still be relying on him. He knows this world way better than we do, and bonus, he'll be able to tell you what you should be wearing.
Kenji shrugs.
Fashion really isn't my area of expertise.
I pick up the short, shiny dress and examine it. Just over 2 weeks ago, I single-handedly fought off hundreds of soldiers. I crushed a man's throat in my fist. I put 2 bullets through Anderson's forehead with no hesitation or regret. But here, staring at an armoire full of clothes, I'm intimidated. Maybe I should call Warner, I say, peeking over my shoulder at Kenji.
Yep, he points at me. Good idea. But then... No, never mind, I say. It's okay. I'll be okay, right? I mean, what's the big deal? He's just a kid, right? Just the son of a Supreme Commander. Not an actual Supreme Commander, right? All of it is a big deal, Jay. The kids of the Commanders are all like other Warners. They're basically mercenaries. And they've all been prepped to take their parents' places. Yeah, no, I should definitely do this on my own. I'm looking in a mirror now, pulling my ponytail tight. Right? Kenji is shaking his head. Yes, exactly, I nod.
No. I think this is a bad idea.
I'm capable of doing some things on my own, Kenji, I snap. I'm not totally clueless. Kenji sighs.
Whatever you say, princess.
Warner. Mr. Warner, please. Mr. Warner, slow down, son. I stop too suddenly, pivoting sharply on my heel. Castle is chasing me down the hall, waving a frantic hand in my direction. I meet his eyes with a mild expression. Can I help you?
Where have you been?
He says, obviously out of breath.
I've been looking for you everywhere.
I raise an eyebrow, fighting back the urge to tell him that my whereabouts are none of his business. I had a few aerial rounds to make. Castle frowns.
Don't you usually do that later in the afternoon?
At this, I almost smile. You've been watching me.
Let's not play games. You've been watching me too.
Now I actually smile. Have I?
You think so little of my intelligence.
I don't know what to think of you, Castle. He laughs out loud.
Goodness, you're an excellent liar.
I look away. What do you need?
He's here. He's here right now, and she's with him, and I tried to stop her, but she wouldn't listen to me.
I turn back, alarmed. Who's here? For the first time, I see actual anger flicker in Castle's eyes.
Now is not the time to play dumb with me, son. Hader Ibrahim is here, right now, and Juliet is meeting with him alone, completely unprepared.
Shock renders me for a moment speechless.
Did you hear what I said?
Castle is nearly shouting.
She's meeting with him now.
How? I say, coming back to myself. How is he here already? Did he arrive alone?
Mr. Warner, please listen to me. You have to talk to her. You have to explain, and you have to do it now,
he says, grabbing my shoulders.
They're coming back for...
Castle is thrown backward hard. He cries out as he catches himself, his arms and legs splayed out in front of him as if caught in a gust of wind. He remains in that impossible position, hovering several inches off the ground, and stares at me, chest heaving. Slowly, he steadies. His feet finally touch the floor.
You would use my own powers against me,
he says, breathing hard.
I am your ally.
Never, I say sharply. Ever put your hands on me, Castle, or next time I might accidentally kill you. Castle blinks, and then I feel it. I can sense it close my fingers around it. His pity. It's everywhere. Awful. Suffocating.
Don't you dare feel sorry for me,
I say.
My apologies,
he says quietly.
I didn't mean to invade your personal space. But you must understand the urgency here. First, the RSVP. And now, Hader's arrival? This is just the beginning,
he says, lowering his voice.
They are mobilizing.
You are overthinking this, I say, my voice clipped. Hader's arrival today is about me. Sector 45's inevitable infestation by a swarm of Supreme Commanders is about me. I've committed treason, remember? I shake my head, begin walking away. They're just a little angry.
Stop, he says. Listen to me. You don't need to concern yourself with this castle. I'll handle it. Why aren't you listening to me? He's chasing after me now. They're coming to take her back, son. We can't let that happen.
I freeze. I turn to face him. My movements are slow, deliberate. What are you talking about? Take her back where? Castle doesn't respond. Instead, his face goes slack. He stares, confused, in my direction. I have 1,000 things to do, I say, impatient now. So if you would please make this quick and tell me what on earth you're talking about.
He never told you, did he?
Who? Told me what?
Your father, he says.
He never told you. Castle runs a hand on the length of his face. He looks abruptly ancient, about to expire.
My God. He never told you.
What do you mean? What did he never tell me?
The truth, he says, about Miss Ferrars.
I stare at him, my chest constricting in fear. Castle shakes his head as he says,
He never told you where she really came from, did he? He never told you the truth about her parents.
Juliet. Stop squirming, Jay. We're in the glass elevator, making our way down to one of the main reception areas, and I can't stop fidgeting. My eyes are squeezed shut. I keep saying, Oh my God, I am totally clueless, aren't I? What am I doing? I don't look professional at all.
You know what? Who cares what you're wearing? Kenji says. It's all in the attitude, anyway. It's about how you carry yourself.
I look up at him, feeling the height difference between us more acutely than ever. But I'm so short.
Napoleon was short, too. Napoleon was horrible, I point out. Napoleon got shit done, didn't he?
I frown. Kenji nudges me with his elbow.
You might want to spit the gum out, though.
Kenji, I say, only half-hearing him. I've just realized I've never met any foreign officials before.
I know, right? Me neither,
he says, mussing my hair.
But it'll be okay. You just need to calm down. Anyway, you look cute. You'll do great.
I slap his hand away. I may not know much about being a Supreme Commander yet, but I do know that I'm not supposed to be cute. Just then, the elevator dings open.
Who says you can't be cute and kick ass at the same time?
Kenji winks at me.
I do it every day. Oh, man. You know what? Never mind,
is the first thing Kenji says to me. He's cringing, shooting me a sidelong glance as he says,
Maybe you really should work on your wardrobe.
I might die of embarrassment. Whoever this guy is, whatever his intentions are, Haider Ibrahim is dressed unlike anyone I've ever seen before. He looks like no one I've ever seen before. He stands up as we enter the room, tall, very tall, and I'm instantly struck by the sight of him. He's wearing a dark gray leather jacket over what I can only assume is meant to be a shirt, but is actually a series of tightly woven chains strung across his body. His skin is heavily tanned and half exposed, his upper body only barely concealed by his chain-link shirt. His closely tapered black pants disappear into shin-high combat boots, and his light brown eyes, a startling contrast to his brown skin, are rimmed in a flutter of thick black lashes. I tug at my pink sweater and nervously swallow my gum. Hi, I say, and begin to wave, but Kenji is kind enough to push down my hand. I clear my throat. I'm Juliet. Haider steps forward cautiously, his eyes drawn together in what looks like confusion as he appraises my appearance. I feel uncomfortably self-conscious, wildly underprepared, and I suddenly really need to use the bathroom.
Hello?
He finally says, but it sounds more like a question. Can we help you, I say?
Tachin Arabi?
Oh, I glance at Kenji, then at Hader. You don't speak English? Hader raises a single eyebrow.
Do you only speak English?
Yes, I say, feeling now more nervous than ever.
That's too bad.
He sighs, looks around.
I'm here to see the Supreme Commander.
He has a rich, deep voice, but speaks with a slight accent.
Yep, hi, that's me, I say, and smile.
His eyes widen with ill-concealed confusion.
You are,
he frowns,
the Supreme?
Mm-hmm.
I paste on a brighter smile. Diplomacy, I tell myself. Diplomacy.
But we were told that the new Supreme was wild, lethal, terrifying.
I nod, feel my face warm. Yes, that's me. I'm Juliet Ferrars. Hader tilts his head, his eyes scanning my body.
But you're so small.
And I'm still trying to figure out how to respond to that when he shakes his head and says,
I apologize. I meant to say that you are so young, but then also very small.
My smile is beginning to hurt.
So it was you?
He says, still confused.
Who killed Supreme Anderson?
I nod, shrug.
But...
I'm sorry, Kenji interjects. Did you have a reason for being here?
Hader looks taken aback by the question. He glances at Kenji.
Who is this?
He's my second in command, I say, and you should feel free to respond to him when he speaks to you.
Oh, I see,
Hader says, understanding in his eyes. He nods at Kenji.
A member of your Supreme Guard.
I don't have a
That's right, Kenji says, throwing a swift shut-up elbow in my ribs.
You'll have to forgive me for being a little overprotective,
he smiles.
I'm sure you know how it is.
Yes, of course,
Hader says, looking sympathetic. Should we all sit down? I say, gesturing to the couches across the room. We're still standing in the entryway, and it's starting to get awkward.
Certainly.
Hader offers me his arm in anticipation of the 15-foot journey to the couches, and I shoot Kenji a quick look of confusion. He shrugs. The three of us settle into our seats. Kenji and I sit across from Hader. There's a long wooden coffee table between us, and Kenji presses the slim button underneath to call for a tea and coffee service. Hader won't stop staring at me. His gaze is neither flattering nor threatening. He looks genuinely confused, and I'm surprised to find that it's this reaction I find most unsettling. If his eyes were angry or objectifying, I might better know how to react. Instead, he seems mild and pleasant, but surprised. And I'm not sure what to do with it. Kenji was right. I wish more than ever that Warner were here. His ability to sense emotions would give me a clearer idea of how to respond. I finally break the silence between us. It's really very nice to meet you, I say, hoping I sound kinder than I feel. But I'd love to know what brings you here. You've come such a long way. Hader smiles then. The action adds a necessary warmth to his face that makes him look younger than he first appeared.
Curiosity,
he says simply. I do my best to mask my anxiety. It's becoming more obvious by the moment that he was sent here to do some kind of reconnaissance for his father. Castle's theory was right. The Supreme Commanders must be dying to know who I am. And I'm beginning to wonder if this is only the first of several visits I'll soon receive from prying eyes. Just then, the tea and coffee service arrives. The ladies and gentlemen who work in Sector 45, here and in the compounds, are peppier than ever these days. There's an infusion of hope in our sector that doesn't exist anywhere else on the continent, and the two older ladies who hurry into our room with the food cart are no exception to the effects of recent events. They flash big, bright smiles in my direction and arrange the china with an exuberance that does not go unnoticed. I see Hader watching our interaction closely, examining the ladies' faces and the comfortable way in which they move in my presence.
I thank them for their work, and Hader is visibly stunned. Eyebrows raised, he sits back in his seat, hands clasped in his lap like the perfect gentleman, silent as salt until the moment they leave.
I will impose upon your kindness for a few weeks, Hader says suddenly. That is, if that's all right.
I frown, begin to protest, and Kenji cuts me off.
Of course, he says, smiling wide. Stay as long as you like. The son of a supreme commander is always welcome here. You are very kind, he says with a simple bow of his head.
And then he hesitates, touches something at his wrist, and our room is swarmed in an instant by what appear to be members of his personal staff. Hader stands up so swiftly I almost miss it. Kenji and I hurry to our feet.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Supreme Commander Ferrars,
Hader says, stepping forward to reach for my hand, and I'm surprised by his boldness. Despite the many rumors I know he's heard about me, he doesn't seem to mind being near my skin. Not that it really matters, of course. I've now learned how to turn my powers on and off at will, but not everyone knows that yet. Either way, he presses a brief kiss to the back of my hand, smiles, and bows his head very slightly. I manage an awkward smile and a small nod.
If you tell me how many people are in your party, Kenji says, I can begin to arrange accommodations for you.
Hader laughs out loud, surprised.
Oh, that won't be necessary, he says. I've brought my own residence.
You've brought...
Kenji frowns. You brought your own residence?
Hader nods without looking at Kenji. When he next speaks, he speaks only to me.
I look forward to seeing you and the rest of your guard at dinner tonight.
Dinner, I say, blinking fast. Tonight?
Of course, Kenji says swiftly. We look forward to it.
Hader nods.
Please send my warmest regards to your regent, Warner. It's been several months since our last visit, but I look forward to catching up with him. He has mentioned me, of course.
A bright smile.
We've known each other since our infancy.
Stunned, I nod slowly, realization overcoming my confusion. Yes, right, of course. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to see you again. Another nod, and Hader is gone. Kenji and I are alone.
What the f- Oh.
Hader pops his head back in the room.
And please tell your chef that I do not eat meat.
For sure, Kenji says, nodding and smiling.
Yep, you got it.
Warner. I'm sitting in the dark with my back to the bedroom door when I hear it open. It's only mid-afternoon, but I've been sitting here, staring at these unopened boxes for so long that even the sun, it seems, has grown tired of staring. Castle's revelation left me in a daze. I still don't trust Castle. Don't trust that he has any idea what he's talking about. But at the end of our conversation, I couldn't shake a terrible, frightening feeling in my gut begging for verification. I needed time to process the possibilities, to be alone with my thoughts. And when I expressed as much to Castle, he said, Process all you like, son, but don't let this distract you. Juliet should not be meeting with Hader on her own. Something doesn't feel right here, Mr. Warner, and you have to go to them. Now, show her how to navigate your world. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. Despite my every instinct to protect her, I won't undermine her like that. She didn't ask for my help today. She made a choice to not tell me what was happening. My abrupt and unwelcome interruption would only make her think that I agreed with Castle, that I didn't trust her to do the job on her own. And I don't agree with Castle. I think he's an idiot for underestimating her. So I returned here instead to these rooms to think. To stare at my father's unopened secrets. To await her arrival. And now, the first thing Juliet does is turn on the light.
Hey,
she says carefully. What's going on?
I take a deep breath and turn around. These are my father's old files, I say, gesturing with one hand. De La Lu had them collected for me. I thought I should take a look, see if there's anything here that might be useful.
Oh, wow,
she says, her eyes alight with recognition.
I was wondering what those were for.
She crosses the room to crouch beside the stacks, carefully running her fingers along the unmarked boxes.
Do you need help moving these into your office?
I shake my head.
Would you like me to help you sort through them?
She says, glancing at me over her shoulder.
I'd be happy to-
No, I say too quickly. I get to my feet, make an effort to appear calm. No, that won't be necessary. She raises her eyebrows. I try to smile. I think I'd like the time alone with them. At this, she nods, misunderstanding all at once, and her sympathetic smile makes my chest tighten. I feel an indistinct, icy feeling stab at somewhere inside of me. She thinks I want space to deal with my grief, that going through my father's things will be difficult for me. She doesn't know. I wish I didn't.
So,
she says, walking toward the bed, the boxes forgotten.
It's been an interesting day.
The pressure in my chest intensifies. Has it?
I just met an old friend of yours,
she says, and flops backward onto the mattress. She reaches behind her head to pull her hair free of its ponytail, and sighs. An old friend of mine, I say. But I can only stare at her as she speaks, study the shape of her face. I can't, at the present moment, know with perfect certainty whether or not what Castle told me is true, but I do know that I'll find the answers I seek in my father's files, in the boxes stacked inside this room. Even so, I haven't yet gathered the courage to look.
Hey,
she says, waving a hand at me from the bed.
You in there?
Yes, I say reflexively. I take in a sharp breath.
Yes, love. So, do you remember him?
She says.
Hader Ibrahim?
Hader, I nod. Yes, of course. He's the eldest son of the Supreme Commander of Asia. He has a sister. I say, but I say it robotically.
Well, I don't know about his sister, she says, but Hader is here, and he's staying for a few weeks. We're all having dinner with him tonight.
At his behest, I'm sure.
Yeah,
she laughs.
How do you know?
I smile. Vaguely. I remember Hader very well. She's silent a moment. Then,
he said you'd known each other since your infancy.
And I feel, but do not acknowledge, the sudden tension in the room. I merely nod.
That's a long time, she says.
Yes, a very long time. She sits up, drops her chin in one hand and stares at me.
I thought you said you never had any friends.
At this, I laugh, but the sound is hollow. I don't know that I would call us friends exactly.
No?
No.
And you don't care to expand on that?
There's little to say.
Well, if you're not friends exactly, then why is he here?
I have my suspicions. She sighs, says,
me too,
and bites the inside of her cheek.
I guess this is where it starts, huh? Everyone wants to take a look at the freak show,
at what we've done,
at who I am, and we have to play along.
But I'm only half listening. Instead, I'm staring at the many boxes looming behind her, Castle's words still settling in my mind. I remember I should say something, anything to appear engaged in the conversation,
so I try to smile as I say, "You didn't tell me he'd arrived earlier. I wish I could have been there to assist somehow." Her cheeks, suddenly pink with embarrassment, tell one story. Her lips tell another. "I didn't think I needed to tell you everything all the time. I can handle some things on my own." Her sharp tone is so surprising it forces my mind to focus. I meet her eyes to find she's staring straight through me now, bright with both hurt and anger. "That's not at all what I meant," I say. "You know I think you can do anything, love. But I could have been a help to you. I know these people." Her face is now pinker somehow. She can't meet my eyes.
"I know," she says quietly. "I know. I've just been feeling a little overwhelmed lately. And I had a talk with Castle this morning that kind of messed with my head."
She sighs.
"I'm in a weird place today."
My heart starts beating too fast. "You had a talk with Castle?" She nods. I forget to breathe.
"He said I need to talk to you about something?"
She looks up at me.
"Like there's more about the reestablishment that you haven't told me?"
"More about the reestablishment?"
"Yeah, like there's something you need to tell me?"
"Something I need to tell you."
Are you just going to keep repeating what I'm saying to you?"
she says and laughs. I feel my chest unclench. A little. No, of course not," I say. I'm sorry, love. I confess I'm also a bit distracted today." I nod at the boxes laid out across the room. "It seems there's a lot left to discover about my father." She shakes her head, her eyes big and sad.
"I'm so sorry. It must be awful to have to go through all his stuff like this."
I exhale and say, mostly to myself, "You have no idea," before looking away. I'm still staring at the floor, my head heavy with the day and its demands, when she reaches out, tentatively, with a single word.
"Aaron?"
And I can feel it then. Can feel the change, the fear, the pain in her voice. My heart still beats too hard, but now it's for an entirely different reason. "What's wrong?" I say, looking up at once. I take a seat next to her on the bed, study her eyes. "What's happened?" She shakes her head, stares into her open hands, whispers the words when she says,
"I think I made a mistake."
My eyes widen as I watch her. Her face pulls together, her feelings pinwheel out of control, assaulting me with their wildness. She's afraid. She's angry. She's angry with herself for being afraid.
"You and I are so different," she says. "Meeting Hader today,
She sighs.
"I remembered how different we are. How differently we grew up."
I'm frozen, confused. I can feel her fear and apprehension. But I don't know where she's going with this, what she's trying to say. "So you think you've made a mistake?" I say. "About
us?"
Panic suddenly as she understands.
"No, oh my God, no, not about us,"
she says quickly.
"No, I just..."
Relief floods through me.
"I still have so much to learn," she says. "I don't know anything about ruling... anything."
She makes an impatient, angry sound. She can hardly get the words out.
"I had no idea what I was signing up for. And every day I feel so incompetent," she says. "Sometimes I'm just not sure I can keep up with you, with any of this."
She hesitates. And then, quietly,
"This job should have been yours, you know. Not mine."
"No."
"Yes,"
she says, nodding. She can no longer look at me.
"Everyone's thinking it, even if they don't say it. Castle, Kenji, I bet even the soldiers think so."
"Everyone can go to hell." She smiles only a little.
"I think they might be right."
People are idiots, love. Their opinions are worthless.
Aaron, she says, frowning, I appreciate you being angry on my behalf. I really do, but not all people are idiots.
If they think you incapable, it is because they are idiots. Idiots who've already forgotten that you were able to accomplish in a matter of months what they had been trying to do for decades. They are forgetting where you started, what you've overcome, how quickly you found the courage to fight when they could hardly stand.
She looks up, looks defeated. But I don't know anything about politics.
You are inexperienced, I say to her. That is true. But you can learn these things. There's still time. And I will help you. I take her hand.
Sweetheart, you inspired the people of this sector to follow you into battle.
They put their lives on the line. They sacrificed their loved ones because they believed in you, in your strength. And you didn't let them down. You can never forget the enormity of what you've done, I say. Don't allow anyone to take that away from you.
She stares at me, her eyes wide, shining. She blinks as she looks away, wiping quickly at a tear escaping down the side of her face.
The world tried to crush you, I say, gently now. And you refuse to be shattered. You've recovered from every setback a stronger person, rising from the ashes only to astonish everyone around you. And you will continue to surprise and confuse those who underestimate you. It is an inevitability, I say. A foregone conclusion. But you should know now that being a leader is a thankless occupation.
Few will ever be grateful for what you do or for the changes you implement. Their memories will be short, convenient. Your every success will be scrutinized. Your accomplishments will be brushed aside, breeding only greater expectations from those around you. Your power will push you further away from your friends.
I look away, shake my head. You will be made to feel lonely, lost. You will long for validation from those you once admired, agonizing between pleasing old friends and doing what is right.
I look up. I feel my heart swell with pride as I stare at her.
But you must never, ever let the idiots into your head. They will only lead you astray.
Her eyes are bright with unshed tears.
But how?
She says, her voice breaking on the word.
How do I get them out of my head?
Set them on fire. Her eyes go wide.
In your mind, I say, attempting a smile.
Let them fuel the fire that keeps you striving. I reach out, touch my fingers to her cheek.
Idiots are highly flammable, love. Let them all burn in hell.
She closes her eyes, turns her face into my hand, and I pull her in, press my forehead to hers.
Those who do not understand you,
I say softly, will always doubt you. She leans back, just an inch, looks up, and I say, I have never doubted you.
Never?
I shake my head.
Not once.
She looks away, wipes her eyes. I press a kiss against her cheek, taste the salt of her tears. She turns toward me. I can feel it as she looks at me. I can feel her fears disappearing. I can feel her emotions becoming something else. Her cheeks flush. Her skin is suddenly hot, electric under my hands. My heart beats faster, harder, and she doesn't have to say a word. I can feel the temperature change between us.
Hey,
she says, but she's staring at my mouth.
Hi. She touches her nose to mine, and something inside me jolts to life. I hear my breath catch, my eyes close unbidden.
I love you,
she says. The words do something to me every time I hear them. They change me, build something new inside of me. I swallow hard. Fire consumes my mind.
You know,
I whisper. I never get tired of hearing you say that. She smiles. Her nose brushes the line of my jaw as she turns, presses her lips against my throat. I'm holding my breath, terrified to move, to leave this moment.
I love you, she says again.
Heat fills my veins. I can feel her in my blood, her whispers overwhelming my senses. And for a sudden, desperate second, I think I might be dreaming.
Aaron,
she says. I'm losing a battle. We have so much to do, so much to take care of. I know I should move, should snap out of this. But I can't. I can't think. And then she climbs into my lap and I take a quick, desperate breath, fighting against a sudden rush of pleasure and pain. There's no pretending anything when she's this close to me. I know she can feel me, can feel how badly I want her. I can feel her too. Her heat, her desire. She makes no secret of what she wants from me, what she wants me to do to her. And knowing this makes my torment only more acute. She kisses me once, softly. Her hand slipping under my sweater and wraps her arms around me. I pull her in and she shifts forward, adjusting herself in my lap, and I take another painful, anguished breath. My every muscle tightens. I try not to move.
I know it's late, she says. I know we have a bunch of things to do. But I miss you.
She reaches down, her fingers trailing along the zipper of my pants, and the movement sears through me. My vision goes white. For a moment, I hear nothing but my heart pounding in my head.
You are trying to kill me, I say. Aaron.
I can feel her smile as she whispers the word in my ear. She's unbuttoning my pants.
Please.
And I am gone. My hand is suddenly behind her neck, the other wrapped around her waist, and I kiss her, melting into her, falling backward onto the bed and pulling her down with me. I used to dream about this, times like this, what it would be like to unzip her jeans, to run my fingers along her bare skin, to feel her, hot and soft against my body. I stop suddenly. Break away. I want to see her, to study her, to remind myself that she's really here, really mine, that she wants me just as much as I want her. And when I meet her eyes, the feeling overwhelms me, threatens to drown me. And then she's kissing me, even as I fight to catch my breath, and everything, every thought and worry is whipped away, replaced by the feel of her mouth against my skin. Her hands claiming my body. God, it's an impossible drug. She's kissing me like she knew, like she knows how desperately I need this, need her, need this comfort and release, like she needs it too. I wrap my arms around her, flip her over so quickly she actually squeaks in surprise. I kiss her nose, her cheeks, her lips. The lines of our bodies are welded together. I feel myself dissolving, becoming pure emotion as she parts her lips, tastes me, moans into my mouth.
I love you, I say, gasping the words. I love you.
It's interesting, really, how quickly I've become the kind of person who takes late afternoon naps. The person I used to be would never have wasted so much time sleeping. Then again, that person never knew how to relax. Sleep was brutal, elusive. But this, close my eyes, press my face to the back of her neck, and breathe. She stirs almost imperceptibly against me. Her naked body is flush against the length of mine, my arms wrapped entirely around her. It's 6 o'clock, I have 1,000 things to do, and I never, ever want to move. I kiss the top of her shoulder, and she arches her back, exhales, and turns to face me. I pull her closer. She smiles, kisses me. I shut my eyes, my skin still hot with the memory of her. My hands search the shape of her body, her warmth. I'm always stunned by how soft she is. Her curves are gentle and smooth. I feel my muscles tighten with longing, and I surprise myself with how much I want her. Again. So soon. "We'd better get dressed," she says softly. "I still need to meet with Kenji to talk about tonight." All at once I recoil. "Wow," I whisper, turning away. "That was not at all what I was hoping you'd say." She laughs, out loud. "Hmm, Kenji is a big turnoff for you." "Got it." I frown, feeling petty. She kisses my nose. "I really wish you two could be friends." "He's a walking disaster," I say. "Look what he did to my hair." "But he's my best friend," she says, still smiling. "And I don't want to have to choose between the two of you all the time." I look at her out of the corner of my eye. She's sitting up now, wearing nothing but the bedsheet. Her brown hair is long and tousled, her cheeks pinked, her eyes big and round and still a little sleepy. I'm not sure I could ever say no to her. "Please be nice to him," she says, and crawls over to me, the bedsheet catching under her knee and undoing her composure. I yank the rest of the sheet away from her, and she gasps, surprised by the sight of her own naked body, and I can't help but take advantage of the moment, tucking her underneath me all over again. "Why," I say, kissing her neck, "are you always so attached to that bedsheet?" She looks away and blushes, and I'm lost again, kissing her. "Aaron," she gasps, breathless, I have to go." "Don't," I whisper, leaving light kisses along her collarbone. "Don't go." Her face is flushed, her lips bright red. Her eyes are closed in pleasure. "I don't want to," she says, her breath hitching as I catch her bottom lip between my teeth. "I really don't, but Kenji..." I groan and fall backward, pulling a pillow over my head.
Juliet.
"Where the hell have you been?" "What?" "Nothing," I say, heat flashing through my body.
"What do you mean, nothing?" Kenji says, nearly stepping on my heels as I attempt to outpace him. "I've been waiting down here for almost 2 hours.
"I know, I'm sorry." He grabs my shoulder, spins me around, takes one look at my face and...
"Oh, gross, Jay. What the hell? What?"
I widen my eyes, all innocence, even as my face inflames. Kenji glares at me. I clear my throat.
"I told you to ask him a question."
"I did."
"Jesus Christ."
Kenji rubs an agitated hand across his forehead.
"Do time and place mean nothing to you?"
"Hmm?" He narrows his eyes at me. I smile.
"You guys are terrible."
"Kenji," I say, reaching out.
"Ew, don't touch me."
"Fine," I frown, crossing my arms. He shakes his head, looks away, makes a face and says,
"You know what? Whatever."
And sighs.
"Did he at least tell you anything useful before you, change the subject?"
We've just walked back into the reception area where we first met with Hader.
"Yes, he did," I say, determined. He knew exactly who I was talking about. "And?"
We sit down on the couches, Kenji choosing to sit across from me this time, and I clear my throat. I wonder aloud if we should order more tea.
"No tea," Kenji leans back, legs crossed, right ankle propped up on his left knee.
What did Warner say about Hader?
Kenji's gaze is so focused and unforgiving, I'm not sure what to do with myself. I still feel weirdly embarrassed. I wish I'd remembered to tie my hair back again. I have to keep pushing it out of my face. I sit up straighter, pull myself together. He said they were never really friends. Kenji snorts.
No surprise there.
But he remembered him, I say, pointing at nothing in particular.
And? What does he remember?
I scratch an imaginary itch behind my ear. I don't know.
You didn't ask?
I forgot? Kenji rolls his eyes.
Shit, man. I knew I should have gone myself.
I sit on my hands and try to smile. Do you want to order some tea?
No tea.
Kenji shoots me a look. He taps the side of his leg, thinking. Do you want to...
Where's Warner now?
Kenji cuts me off. I don't know, I say. I think he's still in his room. He had a bunch of boxes he wanted to sort through. Kenji is on his feet in an instant. He holds up one finger.
I'll be right back.
Wait, Kenji, I don't think that's a good idea. But he's already gone. I slump into the couch and sigh. As I suspected, not a good idea. Warner is standing stiffly beside my couch, hardly looking at Kenji. I think he still hasn't forgiven him for the terrible haircut, and I can't say I blame him. Warner looks different now without his golden hair. Not bad, no, but different. His hair is barely half an inch long, one uniform length throughout, a shade of blonde that registers only dimly as a color now. But the most interesting change in his face is that he's got a soft, subtle shadow of stubble, as though he's forgotten to shave lately, and I'm surprised to find that it doesn't bother me. He's too naturally good-looking to have his genetics undone by a simple haircut, and the truth is, I kind of like it. I'd hesitate to say this to Warner, as I don't know whether he'd appreciate the unorthodox compliment, but there's something nice about the change. He looks a little coarser now, a little rougher around the edges. He's less beautiful, but somehow impossibly sexier. Short, uncomplicated hair, a 5 o'clock shadow, a deeply, deeply serious face. It works for him. He's wearing a soft navy blue sweater, the sleeves, as always, pushed up his forearms, and slim black pants tucked into shiny black ankle boots. It's an effortless look, and right now he's leaning against a column, his arms crossed against his chest, feet crossed at the ankles, looking more sullen than usual, and I'm really kind of enjoying the view. Kenji, however, is not. The two of them look more irritated than ever, and I realize I'm to blame for the tension. I keep trying to force them to spend time together. I keep hoping that, with enough experience, Kenji will come to see what I love about Warner, and that Warner will learn to admire Kenji the way that I do. But it doesn't seem to be working. Forcing them to spend time together is beginning to backfire. So, I say, clapping my hands together, should we talk?
Sure, Kenji says, but he's staring at the wall. Let's talk.
No one talks. I tap Warner's knee. When he looks at me, I gesture for him to sit down. He does. Please, I whisper. Warner frowns. Finally, reluctantly, he sighs.
You said you had questions for me?
Yeah, first question. Why are you such a dick? Warner stands up.
Sweetheart,
he says quietly.
I hope you will forgive me for what I'm about to do to his face.
Hey, asshole, I can still hear you. Okay, seriously, this has to stop. I'm tugging on Warner's arm, trying to get him to sit down, and he won't budge. My superhuman strength is totally useless on Warner. He just absorbs my power. Please, sit down, everyone. And you? I say, pointing at Kenji. You need to stop instigating fights. Kenji throws a hand in the air, makes a sound of disbelief.
Oh, so it's always my fault, huh? Whatever.
No, I say heavily, it's not your fault. This is my fault. Kenji and Warner turn to look at me at the same time, surprised.
This, I say, gesturing between them, I caused this. I'm sorry I ever asked you guys to be friends. You don't have to be friends. You don't even have to like each other. Forget I said anything. Werner drops his crossed arms. Kenji raises his eyebrows. I promise, I say. No more forced hangout sessions. No more spending time alone without me, okay?
You swear? Kenji says.
I swear.
Thank God,
Werner says.
Same, bro. Same.
And I roll my eyes, irritated. This is the first thing they've managed to agree on in over a week. Their mutual hatred of my hopes for their friendship. But at least Kenji is finally smiling. He sits down on the couch and seems to relax. Werner takes the seat next to me, still composed but far less tense. And that's it. That's all it takes. The tension is gone. Now that they're free to hate each other, they seem perfectly friendly. I don't understand them at all.
So, you have questions for me, Kishimoto?
Werner says. Kenji nods, leans forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know everything you remember about the Ibrahim family. We've got to be prepared for whatever hater throws at us at dinner tonight, which...
Kenji looks at his watch, frowns.
Is in, like, 20 minutes. No thanks to you guys. But anyway, I'm wondering if you can tell us anything about his possible motivations. I'd like to be one step ahead of this dude.
Werner nods.
Hater's family will take more time to unpack. As a whole, they're intimidating. But Hater himself is far less complex. In fact, he's a strange choice for this situation. I'm surprised Ibrahim didn't send his daughter instead.
Why? Werner shrugs.
Hater is less competent. He's self-righteous, spoiled, arrogant. Wait, are we describing you or Hater?
Werner doesn't seem to mind the jibe.
You are misunderstanding a key difference between us,
he says.
It's true that I am confident, but Hater is arrogant. We are not the same.
Sounds like the same thing to me. Werner clasps his hands and sighs, looking for all the world like he's trying to be patient with a difficult child.
Arrogance is false confidence,
he says.
It is born from insecurity. Hater pretends to be unafraid. He pretends to be crueler than he is. He lies easily. That makes him unpredictable and, in some ways, a more dangerous opponent. But the majority of the time, his actions are inspired by fear.
Werner looks up, looks Kenji in the eye.
And that makes him weak. Huh. Okay.
Kenji sinks further into the couch, processing.
Anything particularly interesting about him? Anything we should be aware of? Not really. Hater is mediocre at most things. He excels only occasionally. He is obsessed mainly with his physique, and most talented with a sniper rifle.
Kenji's head pops up.
Obsessed with his physique, huh? You sure you two aren't related?
At this, Werner's face sours.
I am not obsessed with... Okay, calm down.
Kenji waves his hands around.
No need to worry your pretty little face about it. I detest you. I love that we feel the same way about each other.
All right, guys, I say loudly. Focus. We're having a dinner with Hater in like 5 minutes, and I seem to be the only one worried about this revelation that he's a super talented sniper.
Yeah, maybe he's here for some, you know.
Kenji makes a finger gun motion at Werner and then at himself.
Target practice?
Werner shakes his head, still a little annoyed.
Hater is all show. I wouldn't worry about him. As I said, I would only worry if his sister were here, which means we should probably plan to worry very soon.
He exhales.
She will almost certainly be arriving next.
At this, I raise my eyebrows. Is she really scary? Werner tilts his head.
Not scary, exactly.
He says to me.
She's very cerebral.
So she's what? Says Kenji. Psycho?
Not at all. But I've always been able to get a good sense of people and their emotions, and I could never get a good read on her. I think her mind moves too quickly. There's something kind of flighty about the way she thinks. Like a hummingbird.
He sighs, looks up.